And we started it last week. And last week we looked at what heaven is going to be like. There's no suffering in heaven. No tears, no sorrow. It's all gone. No nursing homes, no sickness. We found also that it's a place where we will be satisfied all the time, endlessly. It's a place of unimaginable beauty. It's a place where God himself will light up the New Jerusalem, the holy city. No street lights, no NYSEG. God himself and Jesus will just light the place up. And we learn that it's a place that no impurity will ever enter. God is holy. But the secret is this. Jesus, through his death on the cross, made provision for every person to go to heaven. As we put our faith and trust in him, he promises this thing called eternal life. And that is the major theme in the story of the Bible, that heaven can be ours if we just receive the free gift through his grace. Well, today I want to talk about part two, or share a message on part two. And there's two verses, or three verses, at the beginning of your sermon listening guide. And the first is when Jesus fed a whole bunch of people. And the second is when he just before ascended into heaven. So let's read these three verses together. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. These simple verses give us a glimpse of where heaven's at. And very simply put, heaven is up. When Jesus blessed the five loaves and two fish, it says he looked up to heaven. When the disciples were there and Jesus ascended into heaven, it says he was taken up. So heaven is up. The question is, what does that really mean? We hear the word heaven, we talk about it, and the Bible addresses it. And so what I want to do today is share a message on the three different heavens. Now, I have two goals for this message. Number one, I want everybody here to have a better understanding of what heaven is when you leave today. Number two, the second goal is this. I want to expand your view of how great God is. And you'll understand as we walk through this and we look at what the heavens are comprised of and who made them, I want to stretch your concept of who you believe God is and how big he is. So those are the two goals. So three different heavens. Let's talk about them. I want us to begin with a writing from Paul, because he had an experience where he visited the third heaven. It's in your notes. Let's read this together. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul is writing about himself. And he said, 14 years ago, I had this experience. I don't think he died. He didn't totally understand it. He says, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. But something happened. And it says specifically, he visited the third heaven. And then he called it paradise in the same text or in the same story. And he heard something. He heard words that were inexpressible. He saw heavenly action, and he says, it's unlawful for man to even talk about it. So here's why I think Paul may have had this experience. He suffered a lot. And as he went for it, he paid a huge price in just what he had to endure for his cause. And I think God gave him an amazing experience of what he had to look forward to while he was going through the difficult times of life. But he said, listen, 14 years ago, I went to the third heaven. And he called it paradise. And so what I want to do is look at what the first heaven is, the second heaven, and then we're going to talk about the third heaven and give us a general understanding of how to categorize this term called heaven. So in your notes, number one, we're going to talk about the first heaven. The first heaven. Now in the book of Isaiah, he writes about the weather, and let's read these verses together. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. So in the scriptures, we find that heaven is referred to as a place where rain and snow come down. And so in Dr. David Jeremiah's book, The Book of Signs, he says this, the first heaven is the atmospheric heaven, the sky with its clouds, birds, and life-giving oxygen. He says there's traces of the Earth's atmosphere which stretch 300 miles into space. It simply tapers off gradually. The most vital resources of our atmosphere are within 10 miles of the surface of the Earth, and God custom designed them to sustain life. So here's the first heaven. They say that for mankind to survive on Earth, the first 8 to 10 miles are very important of the atmosphere, because it's there that we have oxygen to breathe. It's there that there are filters that somehow filter out the ultraviolet solar radiation that protects us. So God has custom designed these few miles above us, the first heaven, to literally sustain us in this thing called life. Now, I've got a couple pictures I want to show you to give you some perspective. Here's the first one. This is the last launch of the Atlantis space shuttle. This is takeoff. And through the years, we saw these shuttles fire off, blast off from in Florida, and they were amazing sights. And here's a picture of a second one. This is the shuttle in orbit. It's up above in the atmosphere. And I read this, that the shuttle would do missions about 190 to 330 miles above the Earth. So depending on what they were doing, they would fly at different altitudes. So 300 miles above the Earth, the shuttle would often orbit. I want to give you some perspective. From Walton, New York to Washington, D.C. is a little over 300 miles. So the shuttle was up above the Earth about 300 miles that far in terms of comparative distance. And so tests would be made. So understand that the first heaven is this layer of atmosphere. We get rain out of it. We get snow. It's the atmosphere we breathe. It's where the birds live. It's the sky above us. And, you know, we've penetrated this heaven through the shuttle and other means, but it's where we live. So that's the first heaven referred to. Let's go to the second one. This is amazing. The second heaven. Now, in the book of Genesis, the creation story, God creates the second heaven as well. Read with me verses 14 to 17 in your notes, Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Above the layer of atmosphere that we breathe air in, we hit the second heaven. And the scriptures say that God created the greater light, which is the sun, rules by day. The lesser light is the moon that we see at night. And he created this expansive universe. He just created it. Now, in Dr. David Jeremiah's book, it's in your notes, page 184, he said this: the second heaven is the vast universe in which we live, filled with billions of stars, planets, dust clouds, meteors, and galaxies. I want to show you some pictures. And here's where I want to expand your concept of who God is to you. Here's the first one. For most of us, when we grew up, we heard there were 9 planets that circled the sun. In about 2006, Pluto got booted off the list for different reasons because it didn't quite meet the criteria. So in this picture, you have 8 planets circling around the sun. It's known as our solar system. We are number 3 from the left. That's Earth, the little blue ball. You're on that dot somewhere. The next closest planet, the next one to the right, is Mars. And there's talk of someday man shooting a rocket, maybe manned or unmanned, manned anyway, to go to the planet of Mars. But let me tell you how far away it is. It's 140 million miles from Earth. NASA says it'll take 9 months to get there. If you got in a ship rocket today and you said, I'm going to go to Mars and pack your bags for 9 months, and they say it would probably, you need to stay about another 3 months there because of the orbit, it'd have to line up for you to come back, it'd be another 9 months back. But the point is this: I want you to understand how big our solar system is. Now, let's keep going. Here's the next picture. Let's talk about the stars. Scientists say that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on Earth. If you go to the beach today and you scoop up a handful of sand, you can't count the number of them. But they say there's so many stars in heaven number 2, the second heaven, more than the numbers of the grains of sand on Earth. As a matter of fact, someone has said that there could be 250 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. So here's another picture. This is a picture of the Milky Way. Now, we as a solar system, our sun and 8 planets, we are in that mix somewhere. It's part of the Milky Way galaxy. Now, let me tell you what scientists are saying. Astronomers have found more than 500 solar systems in the Milky Way galaxy. I mean, we're a part of one solar system, planet Earth, you know, spinning around the sun. Scientists say there's 500 of them out there of what they've counted. But they went on to say they estimate there could be tens of billions of solar systems in our galaxy. I mean, where does this end? Where does it start? And so when you think about the expansiveness of heaven itself, the second heaven is a place that God created for his beauty. We're on planet Earth, one simple globe, and we're spinning around the sun. We're one solar system in the Milky Way galaxy, of which there are at least 500, and they say there's thousands more. When you think about the second heaven, it's really an amazing thing to realize how big God is in creating all that. Now, in the scriptures, Isaiah 40, there's a verse that talks about stars. So let's read these two verses that are in your notes. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host, one by one, and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Let's break this down. First of all, God has a name for every star. He's got a name. He says, calls them by name. And scientists say there's maybe 250 billion stars out there. He's got a name for each one of them. And you know what the second part is? Not one of them is missing. If you want to know how big God is, and let it expand your view of him, just soak on this thought, the truth that, hey, God has a name for every star and not one is missing. He tracks them. He knows them. It's who he is. And we're a part of a solar system that's part of the Milky Way galaxy. We're in there somewhere. We're on planet Earth. We're breathing oxygen in the first heaven up to 8 miles up, thereabouts. And yet he's created this second heaven which far exceeds our comprehension, but it's the God who created us and loved us and has a plan for our life. So, the first heaven, there's the second heaven. Let's talk about the third heaven. So read with me again, 2 Corinthians 12:2, it's in your notes. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. So as we talked about earlier, Paul has this experience of somehow through the Spirit going to the third heaven where God is. Here's a picture. This is an artistic rendition of what Paul may have looked like. We don't know for sure, but I want you to think of that as Paul. And he said he got a glimpse of the third heaven where God dwells. Now, here's a picture of a second guy. This guy's name is Marvin Besteman. I've talked about him in messages over the past couple weeks. He was a banker. He's a Dutchman. Pancreatic cancer. Had surgery, rough surgery. And it was late at night. The wife left. He said he's in his hospital bed. Two people came to his room dressed in white. They were angels. They unhooked him from everything. And they took him to a place called heaven. He couldn't go in, he says. He did come back. But he looked into heaven. You know what he saw? He saw his son-in-law, who had died a couple months earlier. He's in his 40s. He saw people he grew up with who had died and had gone to heaven. He knew them. So Marv Besteman comes back into that hospital room. He lives another 5 years. You know what his assignment was? To write a book. It's called My Journey to Heaven. So he writes a book. A few weeks after he finishes the manuscript with the person he's writing with, he dies. He got his assignment done. And then he went back to the place called heaven, and he won't have to return. Here's the third picture. Colton Burpo. We saw the movie last Tuesday night, Heaven is for Real. And Colton Burpo, not quite 4 years old, has a ruptured appendicitis. They do quick surgery. He's sick. And all of a sudden, somehow during this thing, He leaves his body and he comes back and he lives. Well, over the next few years or however long it took, he begins to tell his parents, the kid's 4 years old, about what he saw during this ruptured appendicitis experience. And I've shared with you in the movie, showed it. He went to heaven and he met a sister he didn't know he had. He comes back to earth, and as the movie portrays, he's having a conversation with his mother. And he says, "Mom, why didn't you tell me I have another sister?" And she says, "Well, you know, you do have a sister," and he had another sister that was still alive. He says, "No, I have another one." The mother is dumbfounded. And the little boy says, "Mommy, that baby died in your tummy." And the mother's thinking, where did he learn this? And Colton Burpo tells about his going to a place called heaven, meeting a sister who came up and hugged him, and kind of looked like the mother and the sister. And then he comes back to earth and tells his story to the people around him. Now, here's my point. There's a place beyond the first heaven and the second heaven, and it's called the third heaven. And it's the place where God himself lives. It's the place where Christ's throne is. It's the place that we've talked about last week about the holy city and it'll come down. And it's the place where we go when this life is over if we're trusting in Christ for salvation. Okay, so let's read these verses, Psalm 11:4 in your notes. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. So the psalmist says, you know, God dwells in heaven. Let's read the next one. Our Father in heaven. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Where's the Father? He's in heaven, the third heaven. And finally, let's read Deuteronomy 10:14. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Moses in the Old Testament refers to a highest heaven. So we find here there's the first heaven, oxygen we breathe. The second heaven is the expansiveness of the universe we live in. Billions of stars that God calls by name, and he's never lost one. And then there's this place called the third heaven. And here's a picture I'll have Elissa put up. There's a place in the third heaven where God's throne is. Now, this is just a artist rendition of what heaven might look like. But I want us to understand there's the first level, the second level, and the third. Here's another picture. Don't know exactly what it looks like. It's described in the book of Revelation. But the point is this. This is the place where God has prepared for you and for me when we trust him through grace for his forgiveness, that heaven is a free gift. And this is our future home. In Dr. Jeremiah's book, there's this paragraph, page 185. Let's read this together. This heaven, the heaven of heavens, the highest heaven, is the locale of the throne and the dwelling place of God. It is paradise. It is our eternal home. This is where we will soon live, side by side with God and with the angels and with the redeemed of all ages. I'm going to have Elissa put the slide up. God lives in the third heaven. It's a place out there, and Paul says it's the third heaven, which means there's a first and a second, but God lives there, and he's inviting us to live with him there after this life is over. Closing thoughts. There's some astronomers in Hawaii that have discovered what they call a super void. It's a huge hole in the universe. It's about 1.8 billion light years across, And once you get past the second heaven, there's something out there that they cannot define or figure out. It's just a void. And could it be the place where the third heaven is that we can't comprehend? But what we do know is this. In the book of Revelation, last chapter, verse 17, this is what it says. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Let me just bring this teaching message to a close. You and I need to prepare ourselves for the time of we go to the third heaven. And the way we do that is walk with Christ today and freely partake and allow him to satisfy through the water of life the yearning and the desires of our heart. We partake of his free gift. And when we partake of it, we can then know for sure as we walk with Christ, there will come a time that we will be with God himself and other fellow believers. Other people have died. People like Moses, David, Jeremiah, all these greats, people from our family who have loved God, they're going to be there. We're going to all be together in a place called the third heaven. And that's what God has prepared for us. Let's pray. Father, we bow this morning. And we thank you that heaven is a free gift for anyone who receives it by faith into their heart. And we can live with assurance that heaven, the third heaven, is our future home because we are trusting in what Jesus Christ did for us on a cross for the forgiveness of sins. I pray that for each person here today, as well as everyone listening online, you will give us a thirst and a hunger of anticipation and excitement to live our life in such a way that every day we are prepared, if you call us home today, to go to the place through our faith that we would enter that heavenly city. Father, we just praise you for the greatness of who you are, for the expansiveness of the second heavens, for the miracle of the first heavens that gives us oxygen to breathe. And we just want to thank you and praise you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.